What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the TDM Show. I am your host, Greg, joined by some of the great people this week. Let me tell you what, we got Matt over here, one of the top 26 photographers in Kansas City. What up, man? How you doing?
I am doing phenomenal, Greg. Glad to be here with a stacked cast.
Wouldn't have stacked. And then we have Miss Sparks herself. What's up, Ash? How you doing this week?
Hey, yo. I'm all right. It's been a pretty hefty week, but not terrible.
And then, ladies and gentlemen, the man has awakened. The one, the only, the grim sleeper has returned. What's up, Caleb? How you doing?
So good to be back. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Back from my, I guess, long-awaited slumber. Ripped from the stone like Excalibur. Back like Cook Crack in the 80s. I'm slick back like Rick James in the music video. I'm moonwalking like Michael Jackson in a Pepsi ad. I'm back and I'm better than ever. It has been far too long. What has been going on? I've missed you guys terribly so, but had to lock it down. And happy to say that your boy has not only passed all his finals, turned in all his papers, I've also passed one out of two national exams, and I'm officially a licensed professional counselor. So we in this
nice
thing.
Nice. Congratulations, man. Good to see you finally getting it done.
Thanks. Appreciate it. I've been in school for 27 years consecutively. Trash.
Yeah. Yeah. You're more dedicated and smarter than I am, my guy.
I don't know about smarter. but I'm not going to incriminate on myself on a podcast. Let me just say that.
So anyway, I'm going to start with you because you have not been here for a hot minute. What games have you been playing?
Oof, let me tell you something. Not very many. I've barely even watched television. But since the last few weeks have been a little bit less intense school-wise, I've been just jumping into something quick and easy. It started with my trip to Alabama. I picked up Slay the Spire, which is one of the free PlayStation Plus games. Roguelike card build, deck building, dungeon crawler, masterpiece. And then that led me into this weird space where I was playing Elden Ring, Sid Meier's, and Spider-Man all at the same time. It was just a lot was going on at one time. And I was just like, I was playing Elden Ring on my PlayStation. I was playing Civ on my Mac. And I was playing something else on my Switch. But all of that just basically got put to the side when I had to buckle down for like the last 3 weeks in my final exam. So I've been playing a little web-based and mobile-based game called Backpack Hero. Essentially, it's a roguelike. That was the background music for it. Background music is kind of dope. So you have to crawl through. It's a dungeon crawler roguelike. And like the roguelike element is like you're a rat and you have to like go through all these tunnels. And you have to like level up your character and upgrade your backpack. And every round you get weapons, armor. And depending on how you arrange the weapons or armor or other gear you get in your backpack, you get certain bonuses. So super interesting. I'm having a lot of fun with that one.
So, Caleb, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
In your limited time playing Elden Ring, were you graced with the honor of playing with Let Me Solo Her?
Oh, absolutely not. That man is a different level. Different level of dedication. I did try to run that build. Absolutely not. I don't know why people decide this is a thing that they do for fun, but absolutely not. The next build I am going to try and go is a Zoro build I've been seeing on the internet, yes. And that looks like a lot of fun.
Yes.
Do I need to get back into Elden Ring?
You might have to. I will say this. I don't think I've given my Elden Ring spiel. That game is phenomenal. Oh. Everything about that game is just a yes, a solid yes. I've put maybe 100 hours in. Because one day it'd be like, I play for an hour and I don't touch it for a week. And then like, I'm depressed and then I play for 100 hours in a weekend and I ignore all my homework and my assignments and then I don't touch it for another week. But in however many hours I have in Elden Ring, I will say it is one of the top 100 games of all time. And it's not even like top 100. I would say it's one of the top 20
of all time.
One top 20 games of all time. It's crept up in my top five all time. That quick.
And we all know Skyrim's up there.
Mm-hmm. Honestly.
Oh?
Is he going to say it?
It's right there. It's 1A, 1B right now.
No, look. We can do this right now. Top five. Top five. Going from five to one right now.
1A is Skyrim. Not even like it's close. I wouldn't say it's not even close, but it's close.
5-1.
1A and 1B are Skyrim and Elden Ring.
Nope.
Yeah, because I don't, I can't.
And we're going reverse. 5-1.
Number five would be Dragon Age. First Dragon Age. The first one, Origins. Number four, Mass Effect. Number three, Witcher 3. Number two, Elden Ring, Skyrim, number one.
There you go. Wow, creeping up on Skyrim.
I'm telling you, bro, that game is truly phenomenal because I feel like there's truly something for everyone. Like, I haven't touched magic ever, but I went over to my buddy Eric's house. Shout out to Eric Alfor and the whole gang over there with Final Fantasy 14 crew. I might jump back into that now that I have a bunch of things called free time. God knows what I could do. I could sleep. I could eat. I could go outside and see what the sun looks like. I might even play Elder Scrolls again. We'll see. But I saw him play a faith-based magic class. I was just like, yeah, this is a totally different build than I have. And I saw his other friend, another person in our Final Fantasy party, play a faith-based melee build. And I'm like, there's something in this game for everyone. And then I just found out that like you have to like, there's a secret ending that you have to unlock by like going into a secret like location without wearing any armor. And then if you get that ending, if you continue to play the game, there's a secret ending to unlock the secret ending and reverse the secret ending that you did. Who does that?
Gameception.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Christian Nolan. Yeah. Wow. All right, Ash. What have you been playing this week?
I've actually deviated quite a bit from my norm. I have been playing a stupid amount of Pokemon Unite.
Wow, okay.
Solid.
My stepson, we don't get him a whole lot, so on weekends we try and have as much fun as possible, and he's been playing that game quite a bit, and he's also been playing Fortnite. Fortnite is one of those I can only stomach so much of, so I was like, all right, fine, well, let's figure out something else to play. So it was Fortnite. Then we played a bunch of Pokemon Unite. And then we also played a bunch of Splatoon 2.
Nice. Great. What's your main in Pokemon Unite?
Absol. Mm.
Tough. That's tough.
Approved.
Matt, what'd you play?
So I jump back into Pokemon Brilliant Diamond because I wanted to finish up the Darkrai event before it ended. And so I ended up catching Cresselia, and then I went and managed to catch Darkrai this past week.
Are they shining Darkrai?
Just a regular Darkrai. I don't know what to tell you. But I also did play more Lego Star Wars, which I'm still having a lot of fun with. I know some people kind of had some gripes with how it was remade. And some of the parts are kind of like, it's like, yeah, I get it. Like, they maybe they just want to be done with this part, but it's still overall super enjoyable for me. And I think I've now only completed 2 of the episodes out of all 9 that they have there. So pretty excited to keep trucking along in that and then go back and do free play and be able to change to whatever character is, because some of those bricks are hard to get, like stupid.
Bruh. It's insane. I will say, we were talking before the show, like the pod race scene before, like the end of episode 1, towards the end of that, it felt like that was the point when everybody's like, all right, we're going home.
Right. Yeah.
Like, yeah. It wasn't bad. It was done. But it wasn't like, whoa. I did not feel special at all.
Like, I mean, again, it's literally the lowest stakes thing in that entire sequence. So, like, I get it. But at some point when you're sitting there and you're just like, I could literally just, I just don't have to screw up and I'm going to beat this. Like, I will win this race. And
yeah.
It's not a bad feeling. But for some people, that's not also not a great feeling, like when you're playing this game.
And I want to get some sort of reward out of it other than you collected all the things.
Right.
It's like, or you did it.
It's like you now won just the boy in this wager that Qui-Gon set up. So,
yeah. And then like the whole fight scene with Darth Maul, like it, I felt like it, my, I was questioning whether mine glitched or not because there was nothing there.
So I did too, but for a different reason, because obviously like they go, like you go into the fight and they're just like, oh yeah, you can throw your lightsaber doing this. You can block doing this. You can dodge doing this. And then it'll prompt you to hit some of those like mid combat. And so I was toggling back and forth between Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon. And so I switched to Qui-Gon and I was just like, okay, I'm hitting him. The health's not going down. Him and Obi-Wan are just kind of like stuck in this thing. And it took me a second to realize, oh, I have to switch back to him because they're in the duel. And like you have to button mash like triangle or box or whatever, win the duel, and then like keep going. But it was drawn out. It was kind of long and just like
it was long. Around.
And I was like,
empty.
And there's still mini kits for you to find during the fight sequences. And I was just like,
I couldn't figure out how to like earn Lego bits to become the true Jedi or whatever. Like it was,
some levels I'm convinced you actually do need like the highest multiplier possible, or if you're just like playing with someone else in order to reach true Jedi.
That's fair. So all I played this week was more Puzzle Quest 3 on my phone in my downtime. Haven't really done much else, so nothing too exciting. Same as last time. But, Caleb, glad you're back. Good sir.
Glad to be back.
Just right in time for our favorite monthly game, where you tell us all the games we're going to get for free with the thing we pay for.
All right, let me go ahead and pull up my handy-dandy notebook over here. I've truly, truly, truly missed doing these. It is
It's a lot more entertaining when you do it versus it like really is.
I think we've all tried once. And it just was not quite as impactful, I think.
You know what? We all have our special talents. And mine is totally obliterating anything that is related to games and getting them free. And speaking of games free, let's go ahead and start with the green team, because green bean in the house. Games with gold for the month of whatever month this is, May. It's gonna be May.
Oh my god.
And if you
but we can't have May.
Absolutely not. You knew what's coming. With the first and the official draft pick of Games with Gold, what looks like a base jumping, free basing, extreme sports cockroach, Yuku's Island Express, which is available from May 1st to May 31st, and then the Inner World, the last Wind Monk. This looks like somebody, again, was freebasing freebase and in an art class by Andrew Lloyd Webber. This looks like a Western version of what's that one thing where you just roll a bunch of stuff into a ball?
I'm not familiar.
I know what you're talking about.
Everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Really long name, but I can't remember what
Stress
it is.
Stress the K.
Yep.
I'll think of it. Go ahead, carry on.
Yeah, but this looks like a dystopian mom and dad didn't love me enough art depressed kid with pink hair did the art for this inner world game. But hey, it might be great. It might not be. That game is available from May 16th to June 15th. And then if you still have somehow the desire to play anything related to the 360 and you wear a puka shell necklace, Hydro Thunder Hurricane is available for you to play from May 1st to May 15th. And what I will not stand for is any desecration for this absolute godsend of a masterfeat. Viva Piñata Party Animals.
First of all, it's Katamari Damacy.
Yes.
Katamari Damacy.
Yeah.
And I don't think Party Animals is the one. Do you like the party game?
I like Viva Piñata. So anything related to Viva Piñata period is a godsend.
Have you played Viva Piñata Party Animals, though?
No, I have not.
Okay. I don't think you have the same respect for this one.
Okay. Well, until we can verify, independently verify these sources, because, you know, we actually like to fact check ourselves now, not like the old days when we were running this thing like Fox 4 News on a Tuesday on a Tuesday afternoon, just saying whatever came to my whims. Blue team over here. I mean, hey.
Yes. Viva Piñata Party Animals is not what you think it is. Part of the Wikipedia, which take it for what it is, similar to other casual Xbox 360 titles such as Fusion Frenzy 2.
Absolutely Viva Piñata, not. That, Party Animals I need you to stop right now. I need you show. To stop. I've heard enough. Yep. I want nothing more to do with it.
Viva Piñata 1 and 2, chef's kiss. Not my cup of tea, but my daughter, my wife, they're all for it.
I spent at least 50 hours on the OG Viva Piñata, but Party Animals sounds like a desecration of what the Holy Land intended to be, another great sequel.
Yep.
Which, Xbox, y'all gotta stop doing this. Uncle Phil, I don't know who you got running video games over there, but you gotta run down somebody's neck over there, man. They've been doing things with some of these classic franchises that I just do not approve. You just gotta put on those Xbox Adidas. Go on his desk, be like, hey, listen, we're not doing this no more.
So those the awesome Xbox games. What's our thoughts on that? We do good this month.
I give it.
Are we canceling our subscriptions? Like what?
I give it a C-. I mean,
it could be worse.
It could be worse. I will literally never play any of these games. But. Somewhere, there is someone on the face of the planet that resembles Jesse Eisenberg's who enjoys Hydro Thunder Hurricane. So for that alone, shout out to Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. Great TV shows. I will give this a C-. It's still going to get a degree in most countries and most universities in this country. Now, if you're over on Team PlayStation, the blue team, there's a whole lot of blue and purple going on here. Shout out to the French African national himself, Kylian Mbappe, representing my favorite team currently, PSG, because Manchester United couldn't score a goal if you left the keeper at home and the goal was wide open. Manchester United will still somehow manage not to score enough goals to win. And this is just the plight of being a Man United fan. So right now, I'm rocking with PSG, even though we're not doing much better over there in France. But FIFA 22 is available, as well as Tribes of Midgard and Curse of Dead Gods. I'm assuming these are both roguelikes, but I'm not sure. But I'm really into roguelikes right now. I have nothing negative to say about these games. I'm gonna let Matthew give us a quick synopsis about FIFA 22. What could we know about FIFA 22 besides Mbappe being on the cover?
It is just as terrible as last year.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We're gonna go ahead and give this a B minus because FIFA is always FIFA. EA is always gonna be EA. I have heard really good things about Dead Gods. Tribes of Midgard looks interesting, and everybody's
Trials of Midgard was the one that came out last June or July, and it's
Trials or Tribes?
Tribes.
Okay. I want to make sure I heard you right.
Now you got me. Now you got me questioning myself. No.
Because I'm seeing Tribes of Midgard. I also got new glasses, so and they're bifocals, so I could be definitely not be seeing.
Yes. Okay. Tribes of Midgard is the one I'm thinking of. It's the one where it's like a multi-online player Diablo-like interesting game.
I could get into that for free. For like sure. I can get into that.
It was $30 when it came out, but I think for free is going to get some more attentions.
Yeah.
And am I correct in assuming that Curse of the Dead Gods is a roguelike?
I think that's fair, but let's not be Fox.
Also, CNN, y'all being acting real fugazi over there, too. Al Jazeera is the only one that I trust right now.
Roguelike fighting game, shooting game, adventure.
Sounds like a whole bunch of gang activity. I am super down for that. I'm going to go ahead and give this one a solid B. Mostly because roguelikes have been taking like the gaming industry by storm lately. I mean, Hades is one of the best games to come out in the last 5 years. That's a roguelike. I highly doubt Dead Gods is anything remotely close to as good as that. Curse of the Dead Gods. I'm just gonna say Dead Gods for short. But I'm willing to give it a try. And like I said, I'm in a phase of life where like roguelikes are interesting to me right now. Like they're simple, easy. I could jump in for an hour and lose 100 and then play 10 minutes and win 2 matches.
You're a better man than me because I can't do it.
Played Dead Cell yet?
I have played Dead Cells a little bit. I think there's something that about like roguelikes that like works well with the ADHD brain. It's never quite the same thing, even though it's the same thing. So it's always a new shiny squirrel to chase. If that makes any sense to anybody besides me. But Dead Cells, I've played and I liked. There was another roguelike that was like Dead Cells, but like basketball, weird sports thingies. But we'll deal with that later.
All right, so I have a question for you. For our next topic, do you guys want to do speculation or comically confused?
Both sound so intriguing.
I know, right?
Let's go with the start of alliteration, comically confused.
Comically confused. Yes, this is very confusing. Square Enix has decided to sell some of their studios. So this all happened today. Embracer Group enters agreement to acquire Eidos, Crystal Dynamics, and Square Enix Montreal for just $300 million.
Comically Confused was right.
So $300 million.
They're selling just the Montreal studio for $300?
No, you weren't listening for half of that, apparently. Okay. Eidos,
mm-hmm.
Crystal Dynamics,
mm-hmm.
and Square Enix Montreal,
mm-hmm.
for $300 million.
To who?
To Embracer Group. Now this is where it gets really interesting. Do we know who Embracer Group is?
No.
Guessing no. You do. You just don't. Their subsidiaries are THQ Nordic, Gearbox Software, and the other two Asmodee and More, all capitalized. So I don't know those two off the top of my head.
So this is Gearbox, the parent company of Gearbox.
Yeah.
So I'm a little confused, but it also makes a little bit of sense. I actually recently learned this on a YouTube deep dive. One of the reasons game studios start companies in Montreal is because of tax incentives. Yep. You can get like 70 $5,000 back in tax incentives a year per employee. Not like overall, like per employee. And I remember Gearbox wanted to start a Montreal studio. So it sounds like instead of Gearbox going ahead and starting a Montreal studio, the parent company was just like, we need a tax break anyway. We got to write this shit off. Let's go buy a bunch of companies. And one of them is Montreal already.
What's even more interesting, because the company that's bought them is the headquarters in Sweden. But what's more interesting is I want you to think of those studios, Gearbox, THQ Nordic specifically, and think of their IPs they have. THQ Nordic, if you remember, was just Nordic.
Yeah.
Until they purchased THQ properties, not the company itself, after they went under. So they have a bunch of old legacy stuff there. Gearbox Software has a whole bunch of old legacy stuff there. And now they have Deus Ex. They have Tomb Raider. They already own the rights to Saints Row.
Yep.
Like, they have all of the classics at this point. But anyway, so $300 million. Somewhat interesting. I don't know.
I like to buy from a business standpoint. I like it from a business standpoint. I don't understand it from a gaming standpoint because the biggest titles coming out would be what? The new Saints Row, right?
That they have?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure they're one of those companies. They have firmly overtaken that kind of B tier. So yeah. Your like SpongeBob SquarePants games, your Saints Row games, like there's a ton of games they publish and they just keep pumping them out constantly. South Park falls under THQ Nordic. No, Ubisoft, take that back. But they keep pumping these games out just to keep getting games every month and sales wise. Like,
would you say this is the return of the B tier?
It's definitely
this is a company's response to Sony and Microsoft buying up everything in the C.
So I don't think this has nearly as much to do with the buying up as it does the selling. This coming from GameSpot, Square Enix sells the rights, as we discussed, to Embracer Group, and with the IP specifically that they're selling: Tomb Raider, Deus Ex, we mentioned, Thief, Legacy of Kain, and more than 50 back catalog games.
Wow.
Yeah. What's interesting about this, though, is I thought I had it pulled up, but I don't. There was a quote that said that a lot of this sale was going to help support blockchain gaming. So, Kayla, why don't you tell us what blockchain gaming is? Ash, we miss you. Where'd you go?
Hang on. I got something. Hang on.
Blockchain gaming is essentially... There are good blockchain games. Sandlot, I think, is what it's called, being one of them. Adidas is developing one. Nike is developing one. Unfortunately, the majority of blockchain games are built on what's called a P2E, play to earn system, where you actually play, while you're playing the game, you're actually earning cryptocurrencies or whatever altcoins are associated with the particular chain. Blockchain games are essentially just like everything else. It's instead of being built on a particular engine like UE5, it's built on the blockchain. Dr. Disrespect is building a blockchain game. Ubisoft tried to integrate NFTs into their non-blockchain games, and they got raffle stomped into oblivion. I think there's potential for good blockchain games. It's just going to take us 5 years to a decade to finally see those games. I think what we're seeing right now is just the worst of the worst. Like, take everything that's horrendous, like mobile games, and then put it with everything that's bad about the internet, and then add NFT boys to it, and that's just not something I care to indulge in.
So in this
is coming from a guy who owns several NFTs.
Yes, in the statement from Square Enix, it said they can use the money to invest in, quote, fields including blockchain, AI, and the cloud. And Eidos, I know we kind of glossed over this. Eidos Montreal made last year's Guardians of the Galaxy. Crystal Dynamic developed the Avengers.
Like, that's the new Tomb Raider that's going to be coming out. So, I mean,
say what?
The new Tomb Raider that they announced during UE5's conference thing.
Well, it's going to be published by this new company. Like, that's what's crazy about it. They also, in the GameSpot article, quoted that Square Enix to going forward, the company's development function will comprise its studios in Japan, Square Enix External Studios, and Square Enix Collective. The company's overseas studios will continue to publish, such as Just Cause, Outriders, and Life is Strange. Like, so they're focusing primarily going to Japan, consolidating their cash flow, it sounds like, prioritizing whatever they have, and leaving the overseas stuff for the most part.
Well, I mean, if they're doing blockchain and things of that nature, it makes sense that they'd be going in that direction, because that particular market, blockchain games, is heavy in that part of the world. Heavy. I want to hold out hope, but we'll see.
Look, I think it's just odd to me, $300 million. Like, wasn't Activision like $42 billion? Now, yeah. I know they're not going to get Activision money, but even Bethesda was $7 billion.
But Bethesda has Elder Scrolls. THQ has Saints Row.
That's THQ. That's not Guardians. That's not the Avengers. That's not Tomb Raider, Legacy of Kain, Thief.
All, and again, of all the franchises you just mentioned, 3 out of 5 are dormant.
Tomb Raider's booming. Guardians of the Galaxy is winning awards.
Avengers is trash. But it's Legacy of Kain. Legacy of Kain, we haven't seen jack.
Oh, bro, no.
Have we seen a Legacy of Kain anything in 15 PS2. Years?
PS2.
Ooh.
PS2.
Oof.
Yeah, PS2.
I think my vertebrae between my A1 and my A7 just stopped working.
Yeah. So let's get inquisitive, though. Let's get speculative. Let's try and have fun with this one. So this week, Xbox and Bethesda announced their game showcase to be held on June 13th at 1 p.m. Eastern time. That gives us a month and 2 weeks-ish away from now. So we know it's Xbox and Bethesda.
Yep.
What are we hoping to see?
What are we hoping to see, or do we think we're going to see?
Caleb, isn't that the same thing?
No.
Oh, yeah.
What we think we're going to see is... What I think we're going to see is some BS about mobile games. I think we're going to see some presentation about, oh, Elder Scrolls Online is doing this, and Fallout 76 is doing this, and here is the Doom update that we've been talking about. What I want to see is gameplay for Starfield. Do I think we're going to see it? Absolutely not. What I would love to see, what I want to see, is a trailer for Elder Scrolls 6. Do I think we're going to see that? Not until 2029.
Hold up. You don't think you're going to see gameplay footage for Starfield?
I think we will see a teaser trailer, like an extended teaser trailer. I don't think we'll see gameplay until September.
It comes out 11/11.
I know. I don't think we're going to see anything until September. And like September, they're going to do the whole, oh yeah, it's QuakeCon, whenever the hell QuakeCon is. They're going to do, hey, by the way, it's QuakeCon. Here is Starfield. Pick it up 11/11/11 at your local retailers.
Ash, what are you thinking? This man's crazy over here. This man lost his mind the last couple months.
I don't think he lost it. I think he just like fried it, served it up, and then, you know. But what I would like to see, I would say, I kind of want like an Oblivion remaster on UE5.
I would take that tomorrow.
Like, I kind of want one, like really bad, because I really liked Oblivion. I'd also like to see a, you know, Fallout 4 remaster with maybe some extra campaign missions and some more building materials. Because I actually really liked the building and the drag and drop aspect of 4, but it was very glitchy. And there wasn't a whole lot of like options when it came to different types of building materials. So it's just like, I mean, you can mod it from days in, but that's only if you got a decent computer and a nice server to run, which I have neither. So.
All right, Matt, what are you thinking?
I think it would be cool to see stuff on Elder Scrolls. That's all I really care about.
Man, you guys are
And
killing
thought.
me. All
And
right.
thought.
All right. Ash, I appreciate you. You stepped outside of Bethesda a little bit. So thank you very much. But like, we're first off, Bethesda-wise, we're gonna see Starfield. Like, we're gonna get gameplay footage. That game is let 5 months away at that point. We're gonna get gameplay footage. They need to drive the hype on that. I know it's already hype, but you need to get the masses involved. We're gonna from Bethesda, we're gonna get what are they doing? Update on Wolfenstein? I'm pretty sure we're gonna update on Wolfenstein. And we'll get we'll get the Elder Scrolls. Kim, is the same team working on Elder Scrolls working on Starfield? Or Ash, do you know?
Not off the top of my head, no.
But we'll get at the very least we'll get that out of Bethesda. And then Xbox, what? You get proper, like, you know, we have to at this point be getting information on Senua's Sacrifice, the sequel. When's the
Yeah.
release date on that? You got to give us something on that. You know they're going to talk about Halo. They're driving Halo.
You think they'll
Talk
do
release season. A what?
a Fable bundle?
If they do, I am going to go broke.
A console? Maybe. I could see them doing it.
That is the only thing that would make me buy one.
But I
I was gonna
don't
say,
think.
is it coming up on their anniversary?
2 years ago, they announced the game. I don't think we'll get
Was
any
that 2 years
update on them
ago?
in. Yeah, it was the announcement trailer for the console.
I missed one game.
Back in 2020.
I forgot.
What's the one that looked like it was a Fable release, but it's a sequel? Planets. It's a Microsoft Studios game. It's kind of like Elder Scrolls and Fallout, but like it's like futuristic Fallout without the Fallout. What is the name of
Oh,
the
I know
game?
what you're talking about. That was made by Obsidian. Outer Worlds, I
Outer
think.
Worlds, yeah. Outer Worlds 2. We'll see Outer Worlds 2.
Oh, that's a good call out. Yeah. We'll definitely see Outer Worlds 2. Gears. I
You're
think
the Gears expert here. I haven't heard or seen or touched anything Gears related since Gears
well,
3.
Gears 5 was the last one they did. That was 3 years? I want to say it was 2019.
Give or take, yeah.
But yeah, I think that's all stuff we're gonna get. Yeah, September 6, 2019. Damn, I'm hurting myself sometimes. Say what?
I said I actually have the limited edition console for it, the white and gray one.
Oh yeah, with the clear glass like top to the skull.
Yeah, it's nice.
So, but yeah, no, like we gotta be Gear 6 update because we know they're working on it. They've been working on it since the get. So I think, but I don't know what they're going to have for big news, because I don't think we're going to get a Fable announcement. I don't think they're far enough along in the game. Mm. And I don't think they want to show their cards too soon.
I could see that. But I feel like we would also get like a little drip, you know, and be like, oh, hey, here's a little mini clip.
Do you think that we get this year's Call of Duty announcement at the Xbox Bethesda Showcase?
Well, isn't it this year's Activision? So I guess I could see that. Because I think last year was Infinity War, wasn't it?
Well, they're all Activision.
Well, yeah, but like, I mean, headed by.
This year is the Modern Warfare team. Infinity War. Last year it was Raven.
Raven Studios,
I think. Yeah. So, Call of Duty update this year from them?
I thought they're skipping this year.
No, this year is Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, and we just get the trailer for Modern Warfare 2. You're right.
See, that's no, it's you good. It's I can understand because you're like the fourth or fifth person I've talked to that's had that said that exact same thing to me in that way, where it was, oh, new Call of Duty this year. No, they're skipping this year. No. The news made it seem like it was, but
they're skipping next year? Or they're going to a 3-year cycle next year.
They're skipping next year
altogether.
Next year will be the first time I think since like 2006 they haven't released a Call of Duty.
That's a wonderful thing. That's the best news I've heard all day.
Yeah, fantastic.
Because they'll actually take their time and make a semi-decent game that doesn't have game-ending breaks in the middle of it in the first week.
Honestly, no. with as many studios Activision has like cycling Call of Duty games, they could go to a 5-year cycle. Let one company work on a Call of Duty game for 5 years and let it for 2 years.
Do you realize how horrible that job would be?
I think they would actually enjoy it. Like, because they've been on 2-year cycles, bro. That means they don't even have to
get... No, they just started doing... They've been on 3-year cycle. Since the PS4 2013.
Yeah.
Treyarch, Sledgehammer, and Infinity War. Last year was the first year when... I think last year was the first year they went 2-year cycle, or maybe it was this year, but Sledgehammer.
You saw how that went.
Yeah, hot trash. So, no, I think we'll get Activision games announced.
I hope so.
I don't know what Activision we're going to get. But.
Here's why I think we might get some like mobile nonsense, because Diablo Immortal is officially being posted everywhere. It's being posted everywhere. I was initially excited for Diablo Immortal, because it was specifically built for mobile and focused on mobile, but now like Blizzard has backtracked and walked it, and now they're bringing a PC patch to that game, which honestly, that should have just been a full-blown sequel focused on Diablo 4.
Okay, but question for you though. If what if they do it the same way they did Hearthstone? Not like it's that kind of style, but like it's a mobile game that works on the PC.
If it's a mobile game that works on the PC, I'll take that. My fear is that this is a bad PC port of a mobile game. That's my fear. And with the way, and again, we have to give Uncle Phil and the Dream Team time to turn the ship around, because this is a giant oil tanker pulling a giant air carrier around already stuck in an iceberg. It's going to take time to see positive changes. It will maybe take 10 years for us to really see the effect of Microsoft fully owning these companies. But man, I see the next 5 years just being like the death sputter of what Activision formerly was. And it's just going to be a lot of garbage.
I feel like it's going to be a lot of hit or miss. Like, I feel like we're going to get a couple of really good things, and then we're going to get a bunch of hot garbage at the same time
from Activision.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see how that the whole Xbox Microsoft ecosystem works. It's gonna be interesting because you have so many new people under a figurehead, and it's not like they're all talking directly to Uncle Phil.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. So is there anything else y'all want to talk about? Oh, Matt. Matt's got Superman Unreal Engine 5.
Yeah. A couple weeks ago, or a few weeks ago at this point, Asha talked about Unreal Engine 5 and that there were some demos that they had put in place for people to kind of experience what Unreal Engine 5 is and is also capable of. Someone decided to model Superman, or like a slice of a Superman game, and what it could be like in Unreal Engine 5, and has been essentially testing flight capabilities within the game. And when I say it looks so sick, I don't know if there's ever been a Superman game that I legitimately enjoyed. Like superheroes, like Superman as a superhero, he's fine, he's good. But like, he also probably has one of the more fun skill sets. Like, he's like the ideal picture of a superhero. So why doesn't he have like a fun game to go with it? So like, this already not only showcases like how robust and how frankly badass Unreal Engine 5 is going to be, but also the potential for giving us like the power for people to make really, really insane looking games.
I just pulled up a YouTube video of this trailer, and although Superman himself looks like trash, the city is phenomenal.
It's the same thing that they did for the Matrix thing. Mm-hmm. I forget what it was, like Matrix something. I can't remember the name of it.
Wow.
And obviously, like, them being able to model like Superman, how he flies and maneuvers and interacts with his environment, fairly intricate. And so super stoked about the future of that. And obviously, like, Unreal Engine 5 just needs to be everywhere and used for everything, like you were saying, Mookie. That's about that. I'm excited. We're all excited. It's going to be a good time.
Like, go ahead, Ash. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The other aspect of that is with UE5, just imagine what the next Spider-Man's going to be like at the same time. You know?
I'm not even there because I feel like that Spider-Man game's too far along. Think about Wolverine.
Ooh. Yeah.
Like a whole person.
Matt, think of Kingdom Hearts and then realize that it's not going to do that at all and just accept what you're going to get. But, like, the potential is astounding.
It absolutely is.
I hate that bait and switch. That was.
I knew where he was going, so I was just like, you know, I'm just going to ride this train.
I've missed this podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just tell you, I have missed the pod.
But anyways.
Pod's blown. Coined it.
Right. But that's it. And I also think it is worth noting, or we'd be remiss if we didn't note, like, huge shout out to the KC Pioneers for placing top 6 in the Halo Championship Series that was here in Kansas City last week. Really insane. I'm super bummed I didn't get a chance to go check out any of the matches there, but I did have some homies that were playing there, and I had some homies that were covering it. And it just looked so sick. And honestly, it's really a game changer for our city, for Kansas City, that we're getting to hold such a prestigious tournament, honestly, with lots of big showcase of players coming in.
Forget getting a basketball team. Let's get a gaming arena.
Hey, first of all, we need both of them.
I mean,
I want both. Good luck. I want a basketball team because I want Trae Young to come in here, drop 20 on us, and everyone's pissed.
See, I think there needs to be some infrastructure to get to those places first, because those potholes be making you think about your ancestors.
You are not wrong. You are not wrong.
All right, guys. What else we want to talk about? Anything else?
I think that's about it for tonight.
All right. Caleb, can the people find you anywhere?
So what had happened was, I'd lost my, for some reason I lost my mind and I deactivated my Twitter for longer than 30 days. So I lost the gold mine of absolutely classic tweets. They're all gone. Probably for the best though, because I'm not trying to get my license revoked on the first day of being a professional counselor because of a 2007 tweet. But I am on Twitter at Metaverse Mook. Same handle, same NFT picture, same shenanigans. If I go to Paris this summer, just turn off notifications because so I will be unbearable. Follow you again.
Don't
yep.
I?
Yep. Damn it. Follow your boy. I'm trying to follow everybody back, but also keep out some of the nonsense. It's amazing what having under 1,000 followers, like how often you can actually see real people.
it is absolutely fantastic.
It's a game changer.
The best thing never happened.
Shout out to Elon's Twitter.
Hey, no, yeah. We're not going that far. We're not going that far.
All right, Ash, before Caleb says something else that I just can't tolerate him for, where can they find us at?
Podcast?
Yes.
So you guys can find us on all of your podcasting platforms. So you've got Spotify, Apple, etc., etc. You can also find us on the Facebooks. Do we have a Twitter page yet? Or is it just us?
Like, there is one.
Okay. You can find us on Twitter, and you can also find us on the gram. Make sure you like and subscribe. Share us with your friends. At least one of them will like us if you don't already.
And Ash, where can they find you at?
Me personally, you can find me on the Twitters. You can find me on the gram. And you can find me on Twitch, streaming when I stream. Currently, it hasn't been a lot, but I'm starting to fix that. At MS_SparksMadness with an X, not a K.
And Matt, where can they watch you walk around the city and take fantastic photos?
Well, that's a different
on film.
That's a different place than where I want them to go. So, so guys, you can follow me on all social media at _Gutu, where I may or may not create a burner account specifically to throw hate at myself because I operate off of hate. So if you want to also follow me for pure spite and just tweet at me saying you can't do this or you're not able to, helps me enter my Mamba mentality. And what more
okay,
27th year, it's like,
so it fuels me. So you don't want like the real smoke, you just want like the thought.
My mom wants new cyborg, not real smoke, just noob cyborg. Deep cuts. We're back with the deep cuts.
That is the best analogy I've ever heard. And I will take real and fake smoke because, I mean, I think someone put it perfectly because a friend of mine was in Portland, Maine, and he's just like, Maine's the best thing. And I was like, yeah, screw the Northeast. And he's like, well, I was like, they didn't do anything. They just don't have enough hate. So,
okay. Okay. Boston's up there.
Oh, I'm well aware.
They're catching all the hate right now, all the time, just all the time. And you can find me at Tonksy on Twitter, TONNKSY. That's where I'll be tweeting, like I always tweet about, you know, a game of Sea of Stars. Just wait for that to come out.
You know, I'm about to get another follow. Live on stream. Look at that. Don't ever say I didn't do anything for you, Greg.
Live on the recorded stream. And that, guys, is this week's episode of the TDM Show. We appreciate y'all listening. We want y'all to stay safe, you know, to be healthy, but mostly so you can come back next week and listen again. We love y'all. We'll catch y'all later. Bye-bye now.